from our studios in New York City and Miami, Florida. You are listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Striking Corner podcast. This podcast is actually brought to you by Pines Martial Arts, or in other words, Academy of Martial Arts in Pembroke Pines. That is the gym that I train at, or occasionally train at.
Wait, why are they getting sponsored today?
They are getting sponsored today because Matt Lucas, the proverbial pain in my ass that is Matt Lucas, he wants to sponsor them because he says anybody that's putting up with my bullshit should definitely get a shout out, because as you guys all know, yes, I promised that I was gonna train, and I haven't, you know, stuck to my end of the deal. So if you guys are following me on social media, you'll pretty much notice that pretty like in a lot of the posts that I put, there will be this really pasty white looking fucker named Matt Lucas posting, and he'll always ask, did you work out today or did you train today? So
it's not even just what you post. It's even other people's posts that you comment on.
Yeah, it's anything. And it could be about something completely non-related to martial arts. It could be something that I posted about work or about music or so. I think I posted something about the Grammys the other day, and he was like, it's awesome that you found a new workout song. You know, yeah. The guy is committed to what he does, and
and he's trying to show you exactly. Because just like you should be committed to what you said, and you wanted someone to hold you accountable, and now you got Matt Lucas. That's your guy.
Yeah, that is.
He's holding you accountable, and he's actually threatened to quit multiple times, but he just doesn't have it in him.
Yeah. He's a true friend. He's a true friend.
He vents to me about how he can't stop busting your balls.
Yeah, he's a true friend. So anyway, guys, the gym, well, he actually put up, you know, told us that he wanted a sponsor, do a sponsor shout out, which is basically you guys can, any of you guys can, if you want us to, or sponsor an episode, you can hit us up at info@strikingcorner.com. And I don't know, you, what was it, $20, Vin?
For gym sponsorship is $25.
Gym sponsorship is $25. You will sponsor the episode. So this episode is brought to you by Academy of Martial Arts Pembroke Pines. That is at 8937 Taft Street here in Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33024. Coach is my coach, Jose Cal. And if you guys are ever in the area, feel free to stop by. He's basically been, he's one of the best coaches.
You probably won't see Eric there.
You probably won't see me, but he's one of the best guys in the game. True. Loves to teach, loves to talk shit about Muay Thai and just go in there and train hard, you know. So definitely check him out. So thank you to Matt Lucas for that shout out. And let's get into some social media. Guys, you can always check us out at strikingcorner.com. As we had mentioned on the previous two podcasts, Vinny pretty much did a whole new redesign of the website, and we're focusing 100% on the podcast, so you can find all of our episodes there. They're easy to navigate, easy to find, and easy to listen to. So, and we've actually enjoyed a lot of new listens. So a lot of you have listened to some of our older episodes, our new ones, are discovering the podcast or maybe telling people about it. So we really appreciate all that support. I can't say enough about that. But it's also, you know, kudos to Vin because he came up with the idea to focus our 100% of our website on that and really push the podcast to the forefront, and it's really helping out. So we want to continue doing this. Now this,
but more importantly, just follow me on Instagram.
Yeah,
which is at Vinny Scott.
Yeah, and you can follow me on Instagram as well at Eric Rivera_TSC. But make sure you follow Vinny first, and then also you can follow us on our Instagram, which is the Striking Corner at Striking Corner on Instagram, and on Twitter as well at Striking Corner, and on Facebook at Striking Corner. So we're everywhere that you know, all the social media outlets, we are there. And that's pretty much it, guys. Now, this episode is 1 week late, but the reason we did that was the person we had on, he's somebody who's still very active in the fight game as a coach, and he was actually coming back from a fight, and we had to do a whole bunch of stuff to shift it around because we didn't want to – I think he was going to do it from his car or something, and we didn't want it to sound like, you know, he was in his car or whatever. So,
but don't blame it all on him.
No, it was
– You also postponed.
No, I had to postpone too, but I just also, there was a bunch of reasons, you know, but we wanted to move it. And, but he's somebody that I've really wanted to have on the podcast for a long time. Funny dude, opinionated guy. If you guys follow him on social media, he is fucking hilarious. Sometimes you might not agree with what he says. He might be a little bit controversial, but he's a real, real OG in the Muay Thai game. It is none other than Mark the Hyena Beecher. And we are happy to have him here on the show. He's on the line right now. We'll be right back with him in just 1 second. So stay tuned to listen to Mark the Hyena Beecher, our interview with him here on the Striking Corner.
The Striking Corner.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Striking Corner podcast. And as we had said at the beginning of the show, we are very excited for this episode because we know it's going to be a good one. We have none other than Mr. Mark the Hyena Beecher on the podcast. We've wanted to have him for some time, and one of the original gangsters in the game, one of the OGs, one of the guys who was in Muay Thai when very few people were doing it. And man, it's awesome to have you on the show. How you been, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. You know, fucking saying OG is like, I'm just old. That's all. I've liked Muay Thai for that long, yeah, but I'm just old.
Yeah, so I mean, one of the things we wanted to actually, we were just talking about it, Vinny and I, when we were looking you up, you know, looking at your Skype. How did you get the name the Hyena?
That's a good story. Shit, nobody even knows that really. Well, some people know it. Well, I used to fight when I first started. I started at Lovato's. A lot of people don't know that Lovato Senior, Rafael Lovato Junior's father was our teacher. At the time, Rafael was 17. He was a purple belt when I started. But anyways, he used to teach us. And when I fought MMA first, people don't know that either. I did MMA first. And when I did like competitions and stuff, when people would get mad, I would laugh at them. So, and mostly like in Muay Thai fights, I would laugh at somebody. And you know what happens when you laugh at somebody? They get more mad, and then they start fucking up and making mistakes, right?
Yeah.
And then when he gets mad, and then I would just laugh some more, and bang, bang, bang. So one time I was fighting, I don't know what, I don't know when, it was so many years ago. Somebody said, you sound like a fucking hyena, and then that was it. That's your new name. You know, I tell all these people, you can't nickname yourself, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
It's got to be something. It's got to be something given it to you. That's for real. Yeah.
All these people with it, that's what cracks me up. This guy, it's his first fight and he's got a nickname. How you got a nickname you never fought before, bro? Come on, man.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm the body snatcher. You ain't snatched no bodies, bro. How are you a body snatcher?
Nice. So, I mean, I guess one of the things that obviously we wanted to bring up is like we were talking a little bit off air. I mean, you guys were training back in the day. I know you were in Vegas. You were in Vegas for quite a while. You were training with the likes of Chaz Mulkey, Kevin. I mean, you said, you know, you started out with Lovato. That's kind of where you started. Tell us a little bit about that, about your journey in Muay Thai, kind of how it started. Because, I mean, I remember when I was first coming up in Muay Thai, and I actually started San Shao before I started Muay Thai, Vinny and I both. But I remember when it came to Muay Thai.
You guys can do some sweeps and dump us then, huh?
Yeah.
Half of them are illegal, but still.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we would have to resort to. That's what we'd have to resort to when we were getting our asses kicked.
Kevin actually fought San Shiro too. But that's a whole different story.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, so the funny thing is when we were fighting San Shiro and then like really when the Muay Thai, when, you know, we started hearing like, you know, about Muay Thai and stuff, a lot of this stuff was coming out of the West Coast, really, you know, and it was you, Kevin Ross, Chaz. And then for us, a lot of the guy, also the names for Sanshao were guys like Kung Lee, obviously doing stuff out there. So, you know, tell us a little bit about the, you know, sort of how you got into it, because you got into it when really it was really the wild, wild west. You know, there was really no opportunities to fight a lot.
Yeah, you know, that's why, like, I have – let me close this down. That's why I have mostly amateur fights, is because – there wasn't pro fights, man. If you went pro, you have like, you get to fight what? Once every year. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So like back in those days, we used to fight amateur, elbows and everything. But like no shin guards, no nothing. But it was also, we're going to pay you for training. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. it's the loophole, you know, the loophole of, we're amateur, but they're like, you're fighting with elbows and knees and I'm like, well, that's just how it is, you know?
Yeah.
But back in those days, I don't know. The weird story about how I got started is I got started doing jiu-jitsu at Lovato's. Mm-hmm. So I was doing jiu-jitsu, and then, like I said, his father taught us Jeet Kune Do, which has Muay Thai in it. And I remember I grew up in Hawaii, so on my TV they had, like, Thai stations. Like, I didn't know what Muay Thai was, but I flipped through the channels and there's Muay Thai going, I don't know what it is. Watch it a little bit and you change, whatever, you know? But I remember that stuff. And then I fought Muay Thai. And then I was doing jiu-jitsu a lot. And then it seemed that at the time, the only Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt was in Texas was Carlos Machado. People don't even know that story, that he brought the Gracies here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't want to get on a tangent about that. But all the competitions were in California. So my brother lived in California, so I called him and I said, hey, man, I'm going to move out there to Los Angeles. And he was like, okay. So I moved to Los Angeles, and that's where I did a bunch of my Muay Thai fights with one of the best coaches in America lives out there is Brian Popejoy.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, so that's my coach. He'll always be my coach forever. Good friend of mine too, you know?
Yeah.
He's really good.
Yeah, he's out. He's doing some great things right now, actually. He's on his way to Singapore right now with Janet.
That's right. And, dude, it's crazy. Janet Todd is headlining over Nikki Holskin. I was like, I was laughing. I was like, how are you going to headline over Nikki Holskin? That's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but it's just going to show, you know, from where you are, like the juxtaposition of where you are, where you were many years ago with Brian and now, you know, where one of his students is, you know, headlining one of these major events and, you know, just kind of showing how Muay Thai has grown and all that type of stuff. Because like I said, I mean, I think we spoke with Brian, Vin, remember we were talking about, he was even saying like back in the day, how crazy it was in California, you know, it was kind of like you just fought. There was no really... He was kind of saying there was more stuff allowed back then, or there was like a lot more. I guess he was saying it was easier to find. Actually, it was easier to find fights back then
a
little bit.
Didn't have a bunch of laws. We just went to gyms and just fought each other hard, man. Knocked people out. It was like it was crazy. I fought like 6 months every Saturday.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That's like 20 Saturdays every Saturday. Let's go.
Yeah, so it's actually like it was actually you were had the opportunity to be more active back then than you were, you know, now with all the laws and the commissions and everything, you know, sticking their nose and everything.
Yeah,
you know,
the worst part is the only reason they're doing it, they're saying, well, we're doing it for your safety and all this bullshit. You're doing it so you get a piece of the money. That's all they want. It's a piece of the pie.
Yeah,
they don't care about us getting knocked out, head trauma. They're lying. They're full of shit, you know?
Yeah.
They just want a piece of that money. And what it actually does is it makes us throw less shows because you have to have money to do shows, and not a lot of people in this game do have money, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean...
They've even... A lot of states have even put a stop to smokers, which don't require money.
Yeah. And California and put a stop to them.
New York did now also. So
oh, really?
It's even harder to get experience that way.
Well, man, I'll tell you a thing that we do here that I've never heard of. until I moved here. A smoker here in Texas, I live in Texas now, for people that don't know. For a smoker here in Texas is, there's no winter. See what I mean?
Yeah.
So we can do smokers, but if there's a winner, like you raise somebody's hand, then it makes it a competition. Dig? So we do it. It's an exhibition and it's sparring. See?
Yeah.
Now you can't charge money to get in either, because that makes it an event too. So it's a it's a donation. So it's a donation. Like, you don't have to pay if you don't want to.
Yeah.
So that's how we do it here, and we get some experience. So, you know, the thing is, that's all we can do. Like, in order to get a promoter license and then run shows, you have to have a bunch of money, and we don't have money, you know? So what are we going to do? We can't just get somebody that has 50 grand to start doing a show, you know what I mean? So that's what we do. We need these smokers like that.
Yeah, I think in New York, the law is that if there's a winner or loser, it's considered an event. If there's a fee at the door, it's considered an event. And also, if there's predetermined matchups, it's considered
An event.
Yeah, I think that's the New York laws.
Well, predetermined could be not. I mean, we could make it the night of, which usually it is. You get a big whiteboard, and then we write down names, you against you, you against you, you know? There's your loopholes right there in New York. Say it's a suggested donation to get in, and then it's there's no winner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you watch the fight, you know who wins, man. Yeah. You know, I know you won. But also we make it to where there's no knockouts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's got to be controlled.
Yeah, I've done, knock on wood, I've done really good on my matchup so far. The matchups have been really close. Some of them were like one guy way better, and I just told him, look, dude, don't blast this kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everybody's been really cool, so that's how we do it here.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of what it's led to now, and that sucks, because I think at the end of the day, you know, we want to grow the sport, and I think it is going in a good direction, but when you shut those things down, that experience factor plays into it. I mean, if we had a lot more of those events like smokers, and yes, if there was a winner or loser, but you would still be able to, you know, go in there and do your thing and more often, I think you know that experience that is sort of what we've always said we lack compared to some other places in the world that consistently fight over, you know, on a more frequent basis. Like, that's the one downside to all this, you know, all the promotion, not promotions, sanctioning organizations and everything having a say in things.
That's the beauty about, you know, what Patrick started to do with the kids, the Youth Development League, is kids are getting so much experience from such a young age that's why, you know, his kids are doing so well in the IFMA Youth Championships, because
I'm on both sides of the fence on this one.
Oh yeah,
because his kids are doing good because he's a good coach, but this not getting him the head thing, I'm not really like.
Well, tell us.
That's IFMA's rule.
I know that's IFMA's rule, but if, you know, look, Taekwondo. I'll give an example of a shitty martial art. Taekwondo used to be good. It did, man. When Taekwondo first got here, it was brutal. They were fighters.
Yeah,
and they made it to where there's a point for a little peep. You just tap the guy with your foot, you get a point.
Yeah,
and then now it's shit. So it's just crap. You know, it's whoever touches you fastest, bang, you win. You know what I mean? Hands down around the waist, because you can't hit me in the head. Yeah. You know, so I don't want. So that's why I'm on both sides of the fence. I'm glad that it's getting bigger by them doing that with the kids, but if it turns into Taekwondo, like it's watered down Muay Thai, there's no headshots in this. Like adults with no headshots, fuck that. You know what I mean? I mean, well, it's fighting.
Way I see it is, yeah, there's no headshots, but that's for kids under age 12.
Right.
Once you hit 12, then you start with the headshots. And the adult portion that he's mentioned, that's no headshots, it's just to break them in.
There is an adult with no headshots? I didn't even know that.
Oh, well, that's because it's just to get them started. Because you know, not everybody knows what they're getting into when they get in the ring for the first time. So they have the opportunity to opt
That's
for the no headshot.
Job to make you figure that out, man. Well, like not no headshots. Like I don't get it. Like if you're going into a fight, you're going into a Muay Thai fight. There's headshots in Muay Thai.
So you don't think that it's okay for just the first one just to get the feet wet, and then the second one is headshots?
Nah. Don't be a bitch. That's what I think. I mean, dude, you're fighting Muay Thai, dude. I mean, you get in there, okay, the first couple, you wear headgear. You know what I mean? Okay, you wear headgear. Very good. You get in there and you fight, man. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's going to – that's the thing is I don't want to water down our sport, man. I don't want it to get watered down and start getting, oh, bing, you got 1 point. Oh, yeah, you win.
I don't think it'll get to that.
Yeah, I hope not, you know. If you got these guys like this because they're not worried about headshots, what happens when they go to the next fight and the headshots are there?
Yeah.
And they get knocked out.
Your hands are supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Not here. But this is what I'm used to. Ding, ding, ding. You're dead.
Yeah. But like you said, it's the coach's job to make them keep the hands up.
That's true. But we haven't – what I'm telling you is we haven't gotten that far yet. So we haven't gotten to where the kids with the no headshots have gotten into the adults with the no headshots and then – transferred over into headshots. So we haven't gotten that far to see if it affects the game yet. Now, I don't think it will. I hope it doesn't. But what I really and truly hope is it doesn't water down Muay Thai. That's it. That's it. Judo is like that now too. All my friends, I don't know about judo. My best takedown, it's a left hook. But judo, they say, is like that too. All the rules made it like garbage nowadays. So
yeah, I mean, you're talking about like Olympic judo or yeah. Well, I mean, that's one of the things I've seen when I like kind of surf through forums and I surf through, you know, social media, you know, and everyone's excited about Muay Thai, you know, someday getting in the Olympics and things like that. But there are those people like you and many other people that actually feel like, you know, they're worried about that. Is it going to get watered down? Is it going to go the way of, let's say, some like, you know, like Olympic boxing, where people were just like, nah, you know, there's
dude, you know how Olympic boxing works with the
yeah,
button,
the clicker, yeah.
Yeah, like, but if
that's see,
great. I'm all for the Olympics and everything that's going on. And if you watch IFMA, there's nothing watered down about it. I'm sure you've watched it.
I fought in IFMA and I coached for IFMA, so yeah, I know
that. I didn't know.
I got a bronze in 2000 and I don't even know 2000 and I'm old.
Yeah,
but that's a crazy fucking story too, because I should have been fighting for gold. God damn it, never mind. All right, so let's go into it. So when I fought at IFMA, I was training with Pope Joy, and I flew out there and I trained at Fairtech sponsored me, so I stayed there for like a month, and then I fought three fights. And my last fight, I fought this kid from Australia. I forget his name. He was tough, though. I mean, he won. But look, I hit that dude with a hook at the end of the first round. Bang! And he went down. And I counted on the tape to 19. Okay? there was no save by the bell. The referee picked him up and put him in his corner. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
Now, I don't take anything away from that dude because he got up and he beat the shit out of me after that, you know? But yeah. I should have won right there. Now, the next day when it was – so that was for bronze. I got bronze. The next day he was fighting for the gold medal, so I wanted to watch it, of course. That's my weight class, right? Well, he goes in there and gets hit like twice, ding, ding, ding. And he goes, whoa, stop, stop, like this. And I was like, what the fuck, man? Because I wanted to fight, you know? I go up to him and I ask him, hey, man, what's the deal? What happened in there? And he goes, man, my head's wrong. And I go, that's because I gave you a concussion yesterday. And I walked off. You know? I was pissed, man, because I would have made a better fight on that, on the gold medal round. Maybe I would have won. Maybe I wouldn't have. But yeah. I would have made a better fight, you know? So that's why I was pissed. But that's my story.
And well, do you know who the final was against? Who did he fight against?
In
the
final? I don't remember, man. I was just so angry. I don't even remember. I have it on tape somewhere. I got to watch it.
Yeah. And this was what, Thailand?
It was Thailand, yeah.
Thailand.
This is before they had it anywhere else. It was just okay. In Thailand. We did it at MBK, I think, that mall.
Yeah, yeah, the huge mall over there, yeah. Oh, all right.
But like I was saying, I don't see it getting watered down. When you watch IFMA, it's not watered down.
I know. Lots of people didn't see Taekwondo or Judo getting watered down either. I just hope that it doesn't turn into, oh, you touch him in the body and you get a point. Fuck that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think it's something that we have to protect, and what I mean by that is, like, we have some good people. Obviously, you're out in Texas, and you know Michael Corley, and what he's doing, and I'm pretty sure he's gonna, you know, because I don't think it's IFMA that will try to water it down. It's the IOC that'll try to water it down if
the
they
IOC
do.
IOC is.
The Olympic Committee. Yeah, the Olympic
Committee. International Olympics Committee.
That's exactly who's going to do it. It's not IFMA.
Yeah.
IFMA is Thailand based, you know?
Yeah, they already run it the way they want to run it. And it's like, if they want to get it approved by the Olympics, then the Olympics is. See, you know, and where I fear is, and I'm not saying, you know, because I've harped on how much I love the USMF and everything Michael Corley is doing and the IFMA and everything. I love it. And so I don't want to come off like I'm saying the negative now. But what I'm saying is, obviously, I think, like, especially if we look at the Olympics, they're going to look at the one thing they're always trying to do is put on things that they feel that the maybe will appeal to people when they're watching it on TV. And the thing is, if you blast somebody with an elbow or cut somebody open and they're like bleeding profusely on network TV,
but they're not going to bleed because they have elbow pads. So they're not going to bleed.
Well, I mean, they still can get cut by it. I mean, Asa got cut pretty bad with a knee, man.
yeah, but you're not going to get cut with the elbows and bleed a bunch. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, like I think that's where they sometimes are going to frown upon the level of if blood or violence, if that does end up getting there. And that's where they try to tone it down. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But that's where I kind of see them trying to stick their nose in, and you know, the IFMA has to kind of be like, no, this is part of the sport, you know.
I think that would be a bullshit reason, because as the generations go on, I feel like they want more and more blood and shit.
Well, I mean, yeah, you feel like that, but then you know, they water it down. They water down these brutal sports, you know what I mean? I mean, not brutal sports, but combat sports. They water down combat sports.
Yeah.
People are going to say our sport is brutal regardless. And we know what we're getting ourselves into. You know what I mean? I'm telling people, I know what I'm getting into when I get in that ring. So let me go. You know, oh, I got a little blood. So what? I know what I'm getting into. Let's go.
No, and you brought up a good point with Taekwondo, because one of our my coach still, he was before he started Muay Thai, he was a black belt in Taekwondo, but he was in black belt. I forgot what it is. It's one of the organizations. It's either ITF or WTF, but it's one of the ones that
WTF. Their name was what the fuck? That's an awesome organization.
World Taekwondo Federation. But yeah, man, he was telling me like kind of what you were saying. He goes, because he was in Guatemala, and he was like, when I was young and we were fighting, we were kicking each other's heads off. Like, it was flying kicks to the face and all sorts of shit. And dudes were getting knocked out. And I think he was even saying, like, if you used to go and see the old school Taekwondo guys in Korea, they would knock each other out, you know? And then all of a sudden, it's sort of, like you said, you see it now, and guys are fighting with their hands down and just trying to land kicks for points. But I have seen knockouts. I have seen knockouts in Taekwondo, but... Yeah.
Olympic eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To get it in the Olympics. You know what I mean? So it just like makes it.
Yeah.
That's what I don't want to see happen to Muay Thai. I don't want to see that happen, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So Mark, I mean, I guess it's talking about all this stuff that we've seen, and I know you're still training people, you're still going out there fights. I mean, that's kind of why we were supposed to have you on last week, but I know you were out at a fight event and we switched it to this week. But so you're still active and everything. And I want to know, so you say you're very on board with and love seeing the growth. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I love your opinions because they're straightforward. You're a straight shooter. You know, tell us about what you feel are the ups and downs, the growing pains that we're suffering. Some of the negatives you've seen with the growth and the positives you've seen with the growth so far here with Muay Thai in America.
I don't know about a whole lot of negatives because they haven't come up yet. It's so in its infancy that I really haven't seen it come up yet. Mm-hmm. But like I said, if it turns into a point, like, and then there's a Muay Thai school on every corner, like a Taekwondo place, and it's just a pop, 1 point and I win. That's not Muay Thai, you know?
Yeah.
If they turn it into that, which I hope they don't, that's going to be a bad thing. But it is in its infancy. And then the other thing is people not supporting people because they think they're just doing it for the money, you know? And it's not nobody in particular, but some people that are saying, well, look, he's got all these kids, so he's going to put on a bunch of kids fights so he can make some money. Who cares? Let that fucking guy make money. He's promoting Muay Thai. Good. If he makes money doing it, more power to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't like people that do that, like they say. He's just doing it for the money.
Yeah. Well,
it is about the money. Everywhere. I mean, look at Muay Thai in Thailand. It's run by money and gambling.
Yeah. Hold on, let's don't start the next round yet. Why? We haven't got the bets in. Hold on. You never been to a fight where it's like a big fight in Thailand where it's packed at Lumpini and in between rounds it's like 2.5 minutes?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Because they haven't got the bets in. That's why.
Yeah, you know? And then they're not doing shit in the first round. They're not doing much.
No. Because that's people getting bets in too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know? I mean,
I'll tell you something that's really crazy. Did you know that gambling in Thailand is illegal?
Well, so it's prostitution too.
Wow. But it's like just, you know, if you go to Lumpini or wherever, they're going to gamble. So they're just like, whatever. I see cops like, oh, give me, they're like with their money. Hey, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So maybe it's not illegal, just frowned upon.
No, dude, I asked and they said it's illegal.
Yeah.
It's not frowned upon.
Yeah.
All right. And so Mark, I want to get you on a rant here. So I want you to tell me something that you see I want to hear you tell me something that you see in the combat sports world currently that really, really ticks you off, that you've seen, things that bother you in the combat sports world, which I'm pretty sure a lot of, you know, guys pulling out at the last minute, not making weight, like all that kind of shit, you know.
Yeah, that happened to Mike on his last fight. I didn't make weight.
Yeah.
And then he was fucking saying, oh, I'm going to try to make weight. He's walking on the treadmill like my grandma can walk faster than that. I walked up to him. My grandma can walk faster than that. He was like, huh? And yeah, I go, she's dead, dude. Come on. Anyways, this is one thing that pisses me off. Fuck, man, there's so much shit. I don't know. But people that don't fight, he throws a combination, he runs. He throws a combination, he runs. So this is the fight.
Yeah, gotcha.
Stop being a bitch, dude. Block and fire, go. You know what I mean? Like Muay Thai style, it says, I'm not going to run. I'm going to go forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it turned, that's what a lot, MMA, I think, did that a lot, but that's what a lot of fights are turning into, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, that's not fighting, dude. That's one guy running and the other guy trying to hit him, you know? It's not fighting. That's just one thing. I hate it, dude.
Yeah. So you're more of the stand in the ground, stand in the center and bang. Old school.
I mean, look, sometimes you got to move. You're getting hit. You got to move.
Yeah.
But not every single time someone flinches at you, then they're like 24 feet away and you're like, hey, man, you want to fight? I'm over here. Come on. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, man. That's not fighting.
Yeah. So I would say when you fought, you were the guy who would like to stalk people down.
I went forward. I just, dude, I had zero defense. I just ate every punch. Don't fight like I fought. That's what I tell my guys. Don't fight the way I fought. They just walk through punches. Dun, dun, let's go. You know, but that's why everybody likes to watch me fight.
Yeah.
But my guys are way better than I was because of all the mistakes I made, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're in there to fight, man. You're not in there to run, you know? Some people, that's their style and that's fine, but it's every fight, man, especially like MMA nowadays is like that. It's just the cage is 30 foot, you know? And one guy goes like this and the other guy is 10 feet away from him. It's like, bro, you want to fight? Come on, I'm over here, you know?
Yeah.
And then he flinches and he runs like, dude, when they flinch, you move, bang, hit them, you know? Just drives me nuts.
That's why I don't watch MMA.
Yeah, well, I started doing MMA, and I do jiu-jitsu still. I like jiu-jitsu, so, you know, all these Muay Thai guys that hate jiu-jitsu, I'll choke your ass out.
That hate jiu-jitsu? Or, well, because I don't necessarily hate jiu-jitsu. I
don't hate it. I respect it as a martial art, but it's just not for me.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
that's what I started, so I like it.
Yeah.
But speaking of different martial arts, I saw a post of yours recently. Did you write all of those?
I did not write that.
Oh, okay.
I found that, but it's great. Like all the, it's on my website, Hyena Muay Thai, but all the martial arts explained. Oh, it's hilarious.
I think the MMA and the UFC were my favorite explanations.
Those were good. They're all pretty good though. Kenpo, is it pronounced Kenpo or Kenpo? Ah, nobody gives a fuck.
Nice. So, Mark, aside from you having this amazing, your long track record in Muay Thai and doing and teaching and fighting and training people, one of the things we've heard recently is that you're a very well-respected and established author.
The reason I laugh is because well-respected and established. Yeah.
So talk to us about Beecherisms.
So it's a compilation of bullshit, actually. I think that's half the name of it. It's a memoir of bullshit. It's essentially, I talk a lot of shit. I've seen stuff and I've said stuff and stuff that I said. A lot of stuff that isn't mine, but stuff that I've seen and I tweeted. And over these years, somebody was telling me, look, man, you need to write all that down in a book. And I was like, it's going to take me forever to do it. I'm not going to do it. And finally, I did it. So here it is right here. Here's a book.
Can you read us a couple of pages?
Yeah, let's get a couple of Beecherisms on here.
Oh, this was awesome. You know you do too much MMA when you're having sex missionary and you can hear the crowd booing. You know what I mean? CPR is the human equivalent of hitting a machine to make it work again. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole book of that. You can read one a day if you want. I think there's 300 and something, 260 of them. I meet the kind of girls you can show off in psychology class for show and tell, crazy bitches. I mean, it's a whole book of them. It's hilarious. I'm just selling them for $20. A bunch of my friends told me, you talk all this shit, just put it in a book. Maybe people will buy it. And it's great. You guys should try to get a copy. It's hilarious.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Have you been making any sales so far?
I sold some, not as many as I thought I was going to sell. I thought it was just going to go quick because of so many people telling me to write this shit. And I'm like, where are you at now when I made it?
Come on,
$75. Let's go.
That usually happens.
I'm no marketing genius though. Maybe I could get somebody to market that thing for me and make some money off of it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
Eric, that's what's your title again, Eric?
I'm director of digital programming. That's my job.
Director of digital programming.
Yeah.
Now, what did it used to be?
Social media marketing specialist.
Yeah, fucking specialist.
Yeah.
But it sucks.
Yeah, I need a specialist. But he sucks. Okay, wait. No, anyway.
Yeah. No, because he's always busting my balls because I do it for my company. But then when it comes to like the Striking Corner and our podcast and everything, like I'm lacking, So, sometimes it's all about money. That's what we talked about. And the guys who pay me are those guys.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks that's what makes the world go round, but that's what does it, and that's going back to another thing that might water down our sport. It's going to go back to making money. If the Olympics make it to where it's no headshots and it's just point here, point there, everybody's going to do it. I mean, I'm not going to do it, but everybody's going to do it because
I wouldn't do it either.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it either if it goes that way. I mean, I just don't think. I mean, I think that's where we step in as the people. I mean, the people that are behind, let's say like USMNF and everything have to.
Yeah,
that's where they step in.
I'm sure they said that about Taekwondo too. And look at that shit now. Come into my school and try that shit on me. See how that works out. Beat you up.
All right. So, I mean, what do you? So you're. You said you were in Texas now. Where are you teaching in Texas? Are you teaching?
I'm in Katy, Texas, which is like a suburb of Houston.
Okay.
So it's on the west side of Houston. Mm-hmm. West side? Yeah, west side of Houston.
Yeah.
It's Revolution Dojo is my my partner. Jeff Messina has been here for so many years. Back when Eves Edwards, before Eves got big.
You know, oh, yeah. Like, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
They used to train. And Tim Credor, if you guys know what Tim Credor is.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Crater. I say Credor because he's from Louisiana.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a bunch of schools out there, but he used to live out here when jiu-jitsu was really small, and they used to just beat the crap out of each other, you know, and now they're more jiu-jitsu guys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Revolution Dojo, that's my partner. We have one gym downtown Houston, and we have a gym, my gym in Katy, too.
Okay, nice. Gotcha. And I wanted to ask you too. Whatever happened with Talking Shit with Beecher? I was enjoying those podcasts.
Man, I just haven't put them out. I need to talk some more shit. you know what happened with me? Really, truly, what discouraged me is YouTube stopped letting me monetize things. Not that I ever made a dollar off of any YouTube at all. Not even 1 cent.
Well, why wouldn't they? Would did you have like copyrighted music on it or something?
Probably.
that's probably why, man.
like there was some with copyrighted music, but it's just like me playing my bass, and I wrote them like an email saying, "Look, I didn't say that I wrote this. I'm just playing my bass to it." You know?
Oh they, yeah. Well, that's kind of weird.
They put it back out. They were like, "Okay, it's fine."
Oh, okay.
And then they were just like, "We can't monetize any of your shit."
Ah.
So my channel's garbage now. I need a new channel. You know, it's like it's weird.
Yeah, because they probably would. Consider it you making money off of whatever that song was.
Those songs, right.
Yeah.
I see. Well, I remember the one of the things that I enjoyed was you had a rant, and the funny thing is I kind of didn't agree with it, but I was like, whatever.
Yes,
you know?
Don't agree. Fucking change my mind. Let me hear it.
No, but it's because I remember, and this is Vinny's going to hate this because he's not an MMA fan, but I remember you were talking – because, you know, the whole when Khabib jumped the fucking fence and, you know, everyone was talking about, I guess everyone was saying that Conor, you know, that Conor deserved it because he was shit talking all the time. And he made Khabib do that kind of thing, you know, and that Khabib, you know, basically.
Shit.
Yeah. So and then you were saying, you know, everybody was always talk shit about Conor being disrespectful and everything like that. And this guy actually fucking jumped the fence and started a fight, you know. And, you know, they talked about, you know, and they're bringing up the thing that happened where he like threw the dolly at the bus window and all that shit. And, but it was,
I don't agree with that part.
You know, you were saying like, you know, well, that shit happened outside of the octagon, you know, like this is stuff that happened inside the octagon. So what's worse, you know? And I was like, you know, cause I'm not a Conor fan, but then I was like, well, I kind of get it. I guess I just wanted somebody to shut him up finally. So that was it.
Yeah, but man, first of all, I didn't shut him up and nothing's going to shut him up.
Yeah.
But look, the reason I like Conor is this. He said before he was in the UFC, before he said, I'm going to go to the UFC and I'm going to be the fucking champion. And everybody's like, yeah, whatever. Right? Just like, and he did it. He went all the way to the UFC and he fucking won the championship.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, man, I can talk as much shit as I want to you, to your face. Does that mean you can fucking jump over the ring and hit me outside of a sporting event? No, it doesn't mean that.
Yeah.
You just beat him in there. All you had to do was go, ha-ha. You just beat the shit out of him. So what? You know what I mean? But then you had to jump over what? He talked about my father. So? Talk about your mama. Fuck your mama. You know what I mean? Who cares? It's just shit talking. It's not that big of a deal, you know?
Yeah.
I met Khabib a couple times training at Pro Fight League with all of his friends. He's a cool cat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those guys are training crazy.
Yeah.
But that shit, that was just overhyped BS, man.
Yeah.
And everybody getting offended over everything, just fucking calm down. Who cares?
Yeah. You know? I mean, and I guess it comes from, because like, I'm one of these guys that, you know, I'm all about. And I'll tell you straight up, like, I'm always about, you know, the Muay Thai, the respect, the culture, all that type of shit. But then it's funny because then, you know, I wanted Conor to get his, you know, that thing happened to him. And I didn't see anything wrong with it. But then I realized, you know, you're being hypocritical because you're saying, you know, you want this sort of respect to happen in the ring, but then this fucking guy goes off and jumps out of the ring and starts fighting people in the crowd, you know, then you can't have one, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's just like, I always feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, or, you know, tell me how you feel about it. I'm always the one that I always like the one of the things that I like about Muay Thai is, you know, we try to stay away from all the shit talking and things like that. But a lot of times here in America, we see that that's sort of what, you know, this isn't Thailand. And in Thailand, they might not do that because it's not part of their culture. But in American culture, we do have that aspect to martial arts, and it sells.
It's a sales tactic.
Yeah. No, and
you're
that's
a marketing specialist. You should know that.
See, no, I'm shit to you right now.
Yeah, man. Oh, he always does, man. That's what we do. That's the dynamic here.
Well, that's the only reason I'm on this show, so I can come here and call him an ass.
So look, man, where he threw the dolly was bullshit. But the other part of it, him flying from Ireland to protect his buddy because his buddy was surrounded by fucking those Russian dudes. Have you ever seen those guys? They are fucking mean, and they train hard, and they don't get tired. I was tripping out. Anyways, let me get back to my point. Dude, they surrounded his buddy. He saw a video. He was like, get on the fucking plane. We're going to go back up my buddy. That's the friend. That's somebody that I want to be my friend, bro.
We're
going to get on a plane, go to a different country with our passports, to back up our buddy because he got surrounded by somebody. Fuck that. I want that dude to be my buddy. What are you talking about?
That's true.
You know, now him throwing that shit at the bus, he shouldn't have done that, but he should have been there. Like, come on, I'm right here. You guys now fuck with my buddy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a friend I want.
So
I guess everyone has a different perception.
What, you want a friend? You want a friend that just sees you get all harassed by 20 guys and then just go, oh well, fuck.
No, my opinion.
Not that dude. That's not my buddy.
What happened?
I hate them both. So that's my opinion. I really don't give a shit either way if they killed each other.
Just get it on video so I can watch it.
So what do you like you said, it's going back to our thing about the marketing tactic of shit talking. So. The one thing that I feel is at first when I, and I always talk about this, when I came back from Thailand, I was all about, you know, oh, respect and this and that. And, you know, they should play the music and they should do this. And, you know, we're not, if they don't wear the Mong Kho, we're not really respecting Thailand. If they don't do 5 rounds, full Muay Thai rules, we're not really respecting the sport, you know, all this type of stuff. They don't play if they don't do the Y crew, all that stuff. And, you know, obviously, as I've grown out of that because I've gotten more into, you know, just wanting to see the sport grow. And then you realize that there are some concessions that you have to make in order for the sport to grow. You know, we want it to blow up. There are certain things that are going to be different. You know, there are certain things that we cannot do like Thailand because we aren't Thai and we aren't in Thailand. And sometimes I realize, too, that I've talked to people that are in Thailand or from Thailand, and they almost like, it's like the Thais themselves don't give a shit. You know, they're just like, you know, they just want to fight. And it's like, if there's going to be shit talking and someone's going to shit talk, like I realize you'll see some Thais shit talk now that they've gotten a chance to shit talk. When they realize that that's sort of part of the appeal, let's say in like Europe or here in the States, they'll do it a little bit too, you know, through a translator and shit, but they'll do it, you know, And then people will tell me, you know, you say all this stuff about respect, but at the same time, you know, you have Sanchai fucking around with dudes when he's whooping their ass. You have guys that are like, you know, shake and shimmy when they know they're winning. You know, isn't that sort of kind of being shit talking or being a dick, you know, like, so you do see that. And it's just sometimes it's you're selective to it. And I think I got caught up for too long and I think this does happen with a lot of Muay Thai snobs or Muay Thai purists is that for a long time, you're like, it was strange and I'll totally come out and admit it. But I would see a fight between a Thai and a foreigner, and me being somebody who's not Thai would always pull for the Thai guy. You know, it's like I wanted the Thai guy to win. And even when they fought other people, and you're always trying to go for them because, you know, you felt like, oh, they're the originators, you know, but.
Well, it's very clear that you are an asshole, and that's probably why.
So to make Muay Thai bigger in the United States, they're going to have to get United States people from the U.S. to win.
Yeah.
You know, it's we're the U.S. Everyone in the U.S. think, oh, we're the best. We're from the U.S. We're the best at every fucking thing.
Yeah.
You have to get some U.S. guys to win, and then it'll start getting bigger. Now, what you said about, you know, like the Y crew and sealing the ring off and the music and all that stuff, that's not going to go over very well here. It's just not going to, because it's not part of our culture, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's people out there right now that do the Y crew and don't know, like, if I teach my guys the Y crew, it's because they want to learn the tradition. And why, what do you do? Why are you bowing in that corner? Why are you bowing in that corner? Why are you bowing in that corner?
Yeah.
Why are you doing every little piece of it? There's a reason behind it, but people just do it because, oh, I'm going to do that cool dance. Now, I'm not down with that shit, you know?
Yeah.
But Americans aren't going to understand that. Why are you doing that? You know, it's just a tradition thing. I like the tradition part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you have to do it if you don't want to. I don't think it's going to go over well in America. Look, when I fought on the King's birthday, I got beat up, but I did. I fought on King's birthday. We all did the Y crew. It's a 16-man tournament. We all did it at the same time.
Yeah.
One time a day. Get in there, everybody do the Y crew, get out, and then we start the fight. So there's no Y crew. They could do that before the fight and then just have the fights on TV, you know what I mean? If they want to keep the tradition, it's fine. You know, but America's not going to understand.
I have a perfect example of how Americans look at some of the traditions of Muay Thai. So a bunch of my friends came out to watch one of my fighters fight. Probably, I don't know, it was like a couple of months ago, whatever. So, and he posted a little clip of my guy walking out to the ring on his Instagram story. And it's funny because he's watching it. He watches him come out. He goes, oh, shit, this guy's got the tennis racket on his head. He must be serious.
I knew that was coming.
So that's exactly like, you know, that's how people from this country look. They don't understand it. They don't know what it's about.
Yeah.
So in order to make it grow, you're going to have to sacrifice a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, when Lion Fight first started, like, I mean, 90% of the fighters on Lion Fight were my guys. When it first started, you know, it was in Vegas, Prim, actually, but it was called Battle in the Desert.
Yeah.
Anyways, my point is these guys are saying, you know, look at that tennis racket. Fuck. Those guys are like these MMA guys from Vegas. I invited a bunch of them out to Lion Fight. And these guys, when you watch MMA, a lot of people don't know that I'm going from half guard to try to sweep you this way. The regular people don't know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But everybody knows what a fucking punch in the mouth is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I had these guys out to Lion Fight, and they were like, what the hell? That was way better than MMA. And I was like, see, you guys just need to watch it more and you'll realize, you know, but it's just hard, man, because everybody likes MMA.
Yeah, but that's the strange thing to me is like everybody says that. Every time you take people that don't know about Muay Thai and show them Muay Thai and show them a badass fight, you know, where two guys are just hammering each other, you know, and then they're like, damn, dude, why isn't this on TV? And you're like, well, that's exactly the fucking question everyone asks, you know, that we all ask is why is this not bigger than it is? You know, what is it about, you know?
What is it about MMA?
No. What is it about? Well, I don't know. What is it about MMA? I always ask, is it because we have this, because in MMA, is it the appeal of things going to the ground and that you can beat the shit out of people on the ground? I don't think so.
I'm gonna tell you what it is.
Yeah.
You know what it is?
The cage and the 4 ounce gloves.
That's one, but this is what it really is. Every back-ass for country motherfucker in a trailer saying, I could do that shit right now. That's what it is. I'm telling you, that's what it is. It's I get in that fucking cage and whoop somebody's ass right now, boy. That's what it is, dude. It's, they see these guys fighting and they think that they could just do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I think the appeal of MMA is. And also, I've been around for a really long time. If you guys don't know, what Dana and the UFC did when they first started was they ran the UFCs immediately after WWE, whatever it is now.
Yeah.
So you got the rollover audience from wrestling. So they're watching this and they're like, I can do that. See? So they got the rollover audience. This is a super smart thing to do. You know what I mean? Why not? And that's why I think people like UFC more or MMA more.
It's like an extension. I mean, and I think that's what it's always, I've always thought that too, you know, back in the day when you had like the tough man contests, it was kind of like the extension of that. Now it just obviously takes a lot more skill to do it, but at a high level, I would say, because you still see, those like backwoods fucking cage fights, you know.
You ready for a rant? Here's a rant.
Let's go.
Fucking these people coming into my fucking gym or any gym for that matter, and this is what they say. I did Golden Glove. And then all my students go, oh, okay. And I go, who gives a fuck? It doesn't. Hey, let me tell you about Golden Gloves. Here's the deal with Golden Gloves. You see that they're doing Golden Gloves right now. Go sign your name on the list. Okay, you fought Golden Gloves. You don't have to train at all. You don't have to do nothing. Now, if you won the whole state Golden Gloves, okay, that's a little different. That's a little different. You won. But yeah. I fought Golden Gloves. Dude, anyone can fight Golden Gloves anytime. Just sign your name on a list. Get your ass whooped. Who cares? So, here's my rant on that. I had a guy in Vegas. I fought Golden Gloves. I was like, okay, come on into my class. And I was like, jab. And he was like this. And I go, okay, everybody pull it back. Jab. He goes like this. And I walked up to him. That's a cross. Oh, shit.
Nice. Yeah, man. And it is funny because there's so much like I think there's just so much bullshit disguised as, you know, actual knowledge here in the States, because it's there are some places where you can go. I mean, obviously, if you're out in L.A., if you're in Vegas, if you're in New York, you know, places that have a solid Muay Thai scene, you can't really get one over on people because they understand. But there is a lot of like places. Obviously, this is a huge country. There are a lot of places where that shit, you know, you'll see stuff like that.
It's
black belts in Muay Thai.
Yeah, where you'll see black belts in Muay Thai. Where you'll see guys that'll say, you know, that they fought God knows where. You know, that they fought in the Kumite and shit like that. And people will believe it. And people absolutely fucking believe it, man. I've seen it here. I've seen it here. Like the more, like I'm here in Florida, right? So the more north you go in Florida, I'm in South.
There are, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. So if you go into, as soon as you start passing Tampa, Orlando, all that type of stuff, that, you know, it's basically the saying is the more north you get in Florida, the more south you get, you know? So you start seeing that, man. You see those karate gyms and these Taekwondo gyms that will tell you that they learned some style from some secret master and all that shit. You'll see that stuff, man. You'll start seeing that. And there's nobody to call them on their shit. You know, there's nobody to call them on their shit.
And sell memberships, man.
Yeah.
That's what it's for.
Somebody needs to just go around the country to every gym and call them people out.
Dude. And you know what? When I was younger, we used to do this shit, but you know what I want to do? I want to go out to these gyms and say, hey, man, let's fight. And, you know, they're going to say no. And then I'm going to be like this. Okay. You ever seen that movie? Somebody pour some fucking baking baking powder in my hand and then slap the shit out of them. Come on, man. Let's fight. You got to fight now, dude. Come on. Hook me up. Yeah.
Nice.
That would be fun.
All right. I would pay money to see that.
Yeah, definitely would.
Dude, look, when I first started, we were in Oklahoma City with Lovato, and it was, what year was it, man? 97, 98, 98. There was still a Taekwondo school on every corner, and nobody knew nothing. You know, UFC 3 was out, you know what I'm saying? And we were doing jiu-jitsu. My coach at the time was a purple belt, maybe a brown belt. He'd seen me, he was a brown belt. We used to have people coming to the school all the time, man. All the time. I want to fight you. To Rafael Lovato Sr. And here's what Sr. would do. Hey, Mark, I got a guy over here. I'll be right there. I'll be there in 10 minutes. I'll fucking drive over there right then. Man, dude, Lovato Jr. too on top of it. He's a really nice guy, but we beat the shit out of some people, dude. I mean, beat the shit out of people. They called one day Bloody Friday or something, and I beat the shit out of like 10 Taekwondo dudes right in a row. I was like, who's next? Go. Bah, bah, bah. This blood. I had to clean the mat too because, you know, I made the blood. So, fuck. So.
Yeah, man. There seems to be some sort of a, you know, not to bring it up, but seems to be quite a bit of animosity towards Taekwondo there, Mark.
I keep bringing it up. I think it's good. I tell people, I think it's good for kids to get respect and stuff. But if you think that you're going to fight somebody with that new Taekwondo stuff that's out now, you're not.
That's true.
You know? If you want to do some real kind of, like, if you ever do get in a fight and it works, then you go and you do wrestling, Muay Thai, and you just, there you go.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's other ones too, Sambo.
Can't say I disagree.
Like, I mean, but in a real combative situation, man, it's so weird that people still believe it. I mean, the UFC came out in, what, 97? I mean, we know what works and what doesn't now. Like, take stuff that works, you know? My brain doesn't make sense, you know?
Yeah, there's still a lot of that too, where, like, there's guys that do kung fu and they have that whole idea of, you know, I can't show you what I can do because it's too dangerous.
How about the no touch knockout martial art?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, please let one of those guys come over here and let me beat him up. I've been praying for that for years, man. I mean, come on. No touch. You ever seen that one where they went to, it was in Florida. They went to an MMA school and the no touch guy had an MMA guy and beat the fucking shit out of him. He was like a 60-year-old guy.
Oh yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah.
Wait, what's the other one? The old guy who was knocking people out with just his stomach.
If you look on my Facebook and my videos, we did a parody video of that guy.
Oh, I got to check that out. The Mikhail Rybko guy? Is that his name?
So I did exactly what he did, like this, and the guy fell down, right? And the guy fell down. But I put a belly pad under my shirt so I was fat, you know what I mean? and I did the whole thing just like, look, I learned it from this guy. Dude, what I don't understand is how those guys believe that. How do you believe that? I'm so hard-headed. Even if I didn't know how to fight, I would walk up and just go, blah! Oh, you didn't block it, dude. I'd just punch him in the mouth, you know? Crazy.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, there's a lot of people.
It's a cult, man. People just want to belong to something.
Yeah, it's power of suggestion, man. You know?
You don't even got that much power.
They all believe in that shit.
On Facebook so many times. I'm like, hey, man, let me come down to where you're at and try that on me. So many times.
Wait, you've called them out? You've called them out?
All my comments get deleted. dude, I will beat his fucking ass. I'll beat the shit. That's like, everybody get a camera. Let's go.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, I would definitely love to see that video. All right, Mark. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, brother. It's we're at the hour mark, and definitely we can go on and on. Love to have you back on again. We're definitely gonna we want to pitch for you guys to who do you contact for the book? You reach out to me.
You can get it on my website. It's hyenamuayshai.com.
Okay.
And a lot of people that don't know how to spell hyena, it's H-Y-E-N-A. hyenamuayshai.com. I got my book on there right now.
Yeah.
Is that a thing that people don't know how to spell it?
Oh, dude, I have a mouthpiece from when I was on The Ultimate Fighter that it says H-E-Y-I-N-A on the mouthpiece.
Hyena.
What does that mean?
It says hyena.
Hyena.
And a dentist did it. And I'm like, don't you have a doctorate? Like, didn't you go to school? Don't you have a doctorate? And he's like, yeah. And I go, you don't know how to fucking spell hyena? and even the producer's like, get out of here, dude. Fuck that guy. He's stupid.
Anyway. Nice. So Hyena Muay Thai to get the book, Beecherisms. Listen, if you guys don't follow Mark on social media, make sure you do. So hilarious to follow. Definitely has a wealth of knowledge when it comes to Muay Thai. Check him out. What's the gym again? Revolution, you said?
Revolution Dojo, but it's Hyena Muay Thai too.
Awesome.
So Revolution Dojo, Houston, and Katie.
Nice. So definitely check them out there, guys. Check them out on social media. Get yourself a copy of Beecherisms. I know I am, because I want to – that'll be my daily read to get myself ready for work. But, yeah, man, awesome to have you on. We've wanted to have you on for quite some time. Like I said, man, you've been in the game for such a long time, dude, and you know, you've traveled all over the States and trained with so many great people, and you've been one of the names for Muay Thai for a long time, doing things in American Muay Thai. So we're really happy to have you on here, man.
No, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, no worries, man. So, yeah, guys, make sure you get a copy of that Beecherisms, and you know, so that Mark put some money in Mark's pocket.
At least a dollar or two.
All right, guys. All right. So thank you very much for listening, and thank you, Mark.
Thanks.
Muay Thai คือชีวิต.
All right. Hello, everybody. And that's it. That was our interview with Mark the Hyena Beecher. Always a fun person to talk to. It's actually been a while. I wanted to have him on, and we just, you know, I don't know why we dragged ass so much, or I did at least. I've always wanted to have him on. He's like I said, a really big name in Muay Thai. Was one of the original guys. Started out with guys like Kevin Ross and Chaz Mulkey, and you know, really from that whole group that was one of the originators, really, for the guys that we looked up to when we were coming up in Muay Thai, that were doing Muay Thai when there was really nothing out there. So great to talk with him, talk to him about his book Beecherisms, and, you know, just his attitude about things is always great. So thanks again to Mark for being on the show. And that's pretty much it, guys. Once again, you can find us on strikingcorner.com. It's our main website. We're also available on SoundCloud. Tell your friends. We're available on SoundCloud, the Apple Podcast app. We are also available on Stitcher, Google Play Music.
Tell your friends.
And yeah, tell your friends. But aside from that, one thing I always want to make sure that you guys do is, if you are listening to us through iTunes, please leave us a rating. Please leave us a comment. The more ratings and comments we get, the higher up on the list of podcasts we get in what is a large, large library of podcasts on Apple. So anything you guys can do to give us a couple of stars and leave us a comment helps us.
And tell your friends to do that too.
Tell your friends to do that too. Yeah. Tell your friends to do that too. Just round them all up and tell them, hey, guys.
Just have a Striking Corner rating party.
Exactly. So that's it, guys. Once again, our Instagram is at Striking Corner. My Instagram is Eric Rivera_TSC. Vinny, what's yours?
At Vinny Scotto.
And that's it, guys. Thank you again for listening to the Striking Corner podcast. We will be back in another 2 weeks with another episode and another great guest. Thank you very much for listening. Talk to you again soon.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto.